Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth.
Hucklebug Nation.
I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. This is episode 736 of the Hucklebug. That's a lot of Hucklebugs, you guys. Several of
That's,
them.
Whew.
It's 736 is what it is.
Imagine if you walked into your den and looked down and saw 736 Hucklebugs that you had to stomp out.
That you had to stomp out.
Oh, God.
You'd be overrun with Hucklebugs. You'd have to call an exterminator. I got 736 Hucklebugs in here. They are running me crazy.
I'm surprised people haven't sent exterminators to our house yet.
Oh, my. Oh. We don't have any rips this week, but...
Yay, but...
We do have a birthday, a big birthday to celebrate. We did this for Dick Van Dyke. I think, what did he hit? He hit 99. Right? He hit 99, so we did a happy birthday to him, because we think... Why not celebrate them while they are still here and with us?
Still here, and we love them.
We do. We love them, and so we want to celebrate them while they're still alive, and, you know, in case they're out there listening. Just in case Carol Burnett is out there listening, happy birthday to Carol Burnett. She's 92 Whoa. Years old today. Woo!
I'm we do so love glad us. Glad we had this
together.
And, you know, when you... reminded me, I probably somewhere knew it, but I didn't until you reminded me that this was her birthday. The very first thing I thought of was, man, she and Dick Van Dyke need to go out and have a celebration dinner.
They should.
You know, he made it to 99. She's now at 92.
92.
Worked together so
she's
well.
She's a spring chicken compared to him.
Yeah.
Still but around and kicking.
I know they like each other.
Of course. How could they not? How could they not? Yeah. What did they work together on? I mean, I'm sure
well,
he's been
know,
on
when
her
Harvey,
show.
When Harvey left, Dick Van Dyke took Harvey's place.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was actually a member, not Ed, of course, because Ed was Harvey, of the family. He was part of the family.
Well, now I do think I remember that. I remember seeing him on her show, but I didn't remember him being like a regular.
Jump the shark days, maybe.
Eh, possibly.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, they're from the same era and the same, you know, they're both, you know, comedians and hoofers.
And the same smart comedy.
Yes. Smart. Yes. Smart, but also physical.
And not afraid to be silly.
Never afraid to be silly. Fearless in their silliness, which is the thing that I admire most in comedians, I must say. So happy birthday, Carol Burnett. I will say apparently, the originally televised performance of Carol Burnett in Once Upon a Mattress.
Oh yeah,
it's available on YouTube if you ever want to watch it. And I found it. I think I might do that tonight. Celebrate her birthday.
Wow!
Watch a little Once Upon a Mattress. I have always wanted to see her in it. I've only seen her perform Shy. I've never seen her do the whole show.
As much as I loved her show. And, well, still love it because I watch it every Sunday. Well, I watch it every weeknight, but on Sundays too. Even though that's not a weeknight.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the Carol Burnett show, let's turn up the lights and see if you have any questions.
Yes.
And people can ask her anything. And she is so genuine and honest and funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, like people will say, what did you think about Lincoln and Kitty? And it was something about like a soap opera she watched. Oh my God, did you see that?
My favorites are always when it's, you know, somebody who, you know, it's like the daughter of somebody she went to high school with. Or,
oh, yeah. Or like,
those are always the best.
Yes, you could have been my daughter.
Yep, I just saw that one the other day, actually. You could have been my daughter. Somebody she had a crush on in college or something like that. Lots of fun. Well, happy birthday, Carol.
Yes.
Yes, very much. And now we will move on to your shout-outs. Roar.
Roar.
We got lots of shout-outs this week. Woo.
And
it's like
we
the old days.
Love it.
Do we not? I think we do. We'll start on hucklebug.com where we have a shout-out for Donna. Donna. We have a shout-out. Donna is her name. We still cannot sing in unison. Even when I have headphones on, nothing. It's all right. You take Donna's.
Well, I'll say just a quick hello as we are heading out tonight to this season's final evening of the Richmond Forum. Boy, do fun things go on in Richmond,
I know.
Virginia.
They got stuff going on there.
Tonight's
man.
Speaker is Martha Stewart. Well, how fun will that be?
Awesome.
If there's a Q&A, ask her about Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure somebody will ask her about Snoop.
Driving back from B-Field this week, we did listen to a couple of episodes. But, of course, when it comes time to making an intelligent comment, I've got nothing. Well, you listened, and that's all that matters.
That's all right.
And Donna and Janet, I will ask you to please just stay tuned to the rest of the show.
Maybe there'll be something for
maybe
you later.
There'll be a little something.
Maybe. We won't make any guarantees. but thank you for your shout out. It's all right if you don't remember. Nobody's required to take notes while they listen to the show.
As long as appreciate you smiled at least once.
Exactly. As long as you smiled, that's all we care about. We're going to move over now to our Facebook page.
Yes.
Under the episode. Where, I posted several supplemental materials. This week I remembered to do it. I posted all of our videos. And, boy, we sure got a good reaction on which seat would you choose.
And like I said, we love it. Just
yes.
When we do something like that, people, don't be afraid. Just pop yourselves right in.
That's right.
In
pop
there.
Yourselves in. Pop yourself.
You
don't even have
no
to,
idea how happy
you don't even have
is.
To listen to the episode to respond
really?
To one of these. Tina, stand in the place where you live. Now leave us a comment. She's going to be fighting it out with you and me for seat number
That's
eight.
That's right. I've got a big pocket, Tina. I'm going to eat you right over the head.
Smash you with it. Kelly!
Kelly, with an IE!
She says four or eight.
Four or eight. Now, four.
Four is between Sidney Poitier and Marlon Brando.
Sit beside of Sidney. Yeah. But if you're sitting beside Marlo,
he'll just be mumbling. You won't be able to hear him.
But just turn your attention to Sidney.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
They call me Passenger Four.
Here's another country heard
Patrick, my little love. Patrick, my little love. Are we all lit?
He's very brave. He is going to sit in seat number six next to Bette Davis and Joan Crawford.
Well, he says, because this Nile seat, oh, and to witness the sparks fly. Well, yeah. If you're going to sit there, Patrick, MLL, you need an aisle seat because you're going to have to evacuate. Yeah,
you will. You will need to hop up
maybe
and get out
5
of the way.
Minutes into the flight, you will
it's
be
true.
Falling forward.
Someone is going to throw a drink at you. I'm just saying. Someone is. And then Kelly with an IE again. She says, the cat ideas about fostering and volunteering at the animal shelter seem like great ideas. I hope Bette is feeling better and Scout stays healthy. Hugs to Scout. She's right here. Hang on a second. I'm going to move over here and hug her.
Oh, she's been mewing. I bet she'll go silent tonight.
No, she's quiet. She's quiet for the hug.
Yeah.
Usually she does not like
when
hugs.
When we were hooking up, she was as chatty as a
She
kid.
Was murping. She was doing a little murping.
She and Stens were having an actual conversation. Hey, Scout, how you doing?
Me. She's got a lot to say today. It's all right.
Next!
Hey, you're so dishy. You probably think the shout-out's about you.
And it is. She says, I'll draw straws with Kelly with an IE for 4 or 8.
4 or 8.
Okay.
Well, nobody wants to sit with Eartha Kitt and Paul Newman up in the front, apparently.
Well, Kelly with an IE and Michelle, if you get that seat, can I just give you a little note that says, ask Sydney everything you possibly can about the movie To Sir With Love.
To Sir With Love. I thought so. Oh, all right. Now, I think we have one final shout out under our missive.
Yes.
And it's from Tina. Stand in the place where you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Tina, here we are again.
Here we are.
Hope you both had a good week. Well,
yeah, it was all right. All right. I'm still here.
She says, I am still feeling grim. Well, that's kind of me.
Oh,
but
dear.
Not about antibiotics, but
yeah,
just me old body.
Poor old bat.
Anyway, enough about me. We'll know everything about you. Three great songwriters, bad singers. I can add 2 to that. Chris Difford.
Yeah.
But Shane McGowan, my God, yep. I just, you know.
Shane McGowan was on our original list when we talked about this in Pound Sweet. And probably, I mean, Difford was too.
Well, I was just wondering, is it just because he can't sing, or is it just because he's blown out of his mind?
It's a little of both, probably, but his songs are still good. He's a good lyricist.
But he's not a great singer. The lyricist he was, and, you know, I miss old Shane. I'm sorry he's gone.
Yeah.
As for the seat on the plane, I also picked seat 8, so we'll fight you for it. Like I
all
said,
right.
I'm going to win.
This is going to be a big brawl for seat number 8, apparently.
I would not mind sitting next to Bette Davis, as she was my mom's favorite actress. But I don't know much about her, to be honest. And you know who her mom's favorite actor was?
No. Who?
John fucking Wayne.
Yes.
Oh,
her mom did not get to see her favorite actor and favorite actress in a movie together then, as far as
yes.
I know. Because they were two very different actors. Interesting.
When I came home from visiting Tina the first time.
Yeah.
And I had told my parents about how much Tina's mom, her mom, was just a treasure, an absolute treasure. And I told them how much she loved John Wayne. When I walked into their bedroom and they had this like 16x20 framed in glass portrait of John Wayne that they wanted to send to her. And I said,
oh, nice.
I said, do you realize that, first of all, it will never arrive there in one piece?
That's true.
And if it does, it's going to cost you $5,000. And so it sat in their bedroom forever. So Tina, my folks had a portrait of John Wayne because they loved your mom so much, even though they never got to meet her.
Oh, that's sweet, though. That's nice. Well, I'd be careful sitting in that seat. That's all I'll say, Tina. In her old age, Bette Davis was a bit of a
bitch.
What's the right word? I don't know. Bitch is too strong, I feel.
Okay.
Just well, anyway, she and Joan Crawford had a bit of a rivalry. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, Joan was a bitch from the beginning. So
Joan was always
need
a bitch.
To talk about that.
Joan was always a bitch. We've all read Mommy Dearest.
Yeah.
Or seen the movie. Or know about it. Anyway, those are your shout-outs, you guys.
Yay!
Thank
you
all.
You guys came through 1,000%.
So lovely to hear from all of you. My goodness. A delight. All right. Bet, you got a movie.
I have a movie.
Yay.
And I guess it was my time. Because I've been waiting, you know, and this is one of those things, Dens. You and I know it, and we've talked about it here, so all of you out there should know it. When someone is telling you to watch a movie,
you have to see it.
You have to see it, or a song, or a book, or whatever. You don't want to.
Yes. I do know that.
So how long has it been? We're talking.
Mish still hasn't seen Schindler's List for that very reason.
I understand, Mish.
She never will.
So how long has it been? 18 months, probably. Since, from NBC especially, but media in other places, the movie Wicked has been crammed down my throat.
Okay.
And now I'm telling you, I just know it's from a Broadway play, but I don't know the play.
Yeah.
And I've heard the play is great.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But I have had this crammed at me for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I just wanted nothing to do with it. Well, of course, it came out and it didn't, it, you know, they said, oh, it has to win the Oscar. Well, it didn't win the Oscar.
No.
And then the Oscars died out, and I thought, well, now at least maybe I'll be able to go and watch it for a reasonable price on streaming. Mm-hmm. Nope, it was still like $24.
No, ridiculous.
Everybody wants to see Wicked.
Yeah.
And so I just left
still it. A premium said, title.
Forget it, whatever, you know. And so this week, I thought I took a big old deep breath and went to Amazon Prime and found it for $5.99.
Okay.
And so I queued it up and I watched Wicked.
Okay.
So do you know the play?
Yeah. Okay. I have to be honest. I'm not a big fan.
Okay. Well,
I know other people love it. It's not my thing. Well, I'm happy for other people to enjoy it.
Here's the thing. I knew, I was guessing, at the beginning of the cast of Broadway. Uh-huh. I knew Kristen Chenoweth had to have been Glinda.
Yes.
And I was right on that.
And Idina Menzel was
right.
The other one.
But for the movie, it is Cynthia Erivo. Erivo? Uh-huh. Enrivo. Erivo. Yeah.
And Ariana Grande, right?
Yes. And both of those are singers who, I'm sorry, I admire
you. It's not your singing style.
If you can do vocal gymnastics, that's wonderful, but that doesn't mean you have to do them all the time.
Right.
And I've seen them sing out, and I thought, this is just caterwauling, what they call it. Started the movie. I adored the beginning of this movie.
Oh, good.
Because it starts with the death of the Wicked Witch.
Right.
And Glinda's out there with the munchkins and, you know, telling them that they should be happy that the wicked is gone. And so the word wicked, how does someone become wicked,
right,
comes into it. And then the story begins.
Yes.
And the story is fine. I was having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one thing, and I don't know about the play, but in the movie, there are characters that should be people, but they're animals.
Mm.
You know, like the nannies, Elphaba's nannies are bears.
Oh, okay.
When they go to the school together, one of their professors is a goat.
Okay.
And it's just out there, and it's funny. And it's
how
fun.
Much of that is from Frank Baum's original books? Do you
I've never read one of his things.
Yeah, I haven't either. And I know that
yep.
Wicked was a book before it was a Broadway musical and before it was a movie, but I haven't read the book either.
And so the only songs that I knew from this were the ones that I've heard since it came out.
Defying Gravity.
Defying Gravity.
Sure.
And Popular.
Right.
The other songs at the beginning were fine as well. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of enjoying it.
Yeah.
But then things just go awry. It's so complicated.
Yeah.
And there's too much going on. And I just lost interest completely.
Oh, dear. Okay.
I'm not going to say total thumbs down.
Right.
Because, you know, there's another one coming out that's going to end it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I think there's like one act to go.
Oh, my goodness. They couldn't even put the whole thing in one movie? Gracious.
But parts of it gave me a grin and parts of it made me happy. Mm-hmm. But it's not perfect by any means.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, every time I think about this movie, because Wicked, it's, you know, fairy tales.
Yeah.
I think about Into the Woods.
Yes.
Which is a play I loved.
Yeah, I adore Into the Woods.
This
one
is
of my faves of all time,
people. But well, anyway, you know. I finally saw it. I got it out of my system.
Yep.
Let it go. Let it go.
Yes. All right. So that's Wicked. Yeah, I know we're going to disappoint some of our musical theater loving fans here, but I'm also not a particularly big fan of Wicked. I have listened to the cast album. Now, my friend Julie played Elphaba in the touring company.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's she was, big.
Yeah, Julie and I were in Godspell together at the Theater Guild. It is big. She was also in a she was in a State Farm commercial with Aaron Rodgers. One of the first ones that he was in.
I hope she kicked him in the nuts.
No, this was when everybody still liked him. This this is before we knew he was a dick.
This is before he was a dick.
Okay. Exactly. This is when he was still America's sweetheart. So no. Anyway, all right. Well, sorry about Wicked, but then there you go. Now, you have something. You got to try it before you know, yeah, right?
At least I can check it off my list.
Exactly. At least you can say I've done it. Congratulations. I have a binge watch. I didn't watch a movie this week, but I do have a binge watch. My binge watch, I started telling you about this last week, Bet. This was not a true binge. I did it over the course of about a week and a half. But I watched a show on Netflix called Chaos. That's spelled with a K, K-A-O-S. Chaos is a limited series on Netflix. I don't know if there's going to be a season 2. I suspect there won't be because this feels like a very much a niche show. And I don't think too many other people are going to be interested in it besides me. But they're modern retellings of Greek myths. And it stars Jeff Goldblum as Zeus.
Oh.
And there were very few of the other actors that I knew, although going back and looking at IMDb, of course, there is my friend and yours. What's his damn name? Well, Eddie Izzard is one of the Fates.
Oh.
That's not who I was thinking of, though. The guy from Naked?
David Thewlis?
David Thewlis is Hades.
Oh.
I didn't even recognize him. I needed IMDb to tell me who he was.
I don't know how new this is, but he has aged.
It's from a year ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And it's about Zeus feels that he's starting to lose his power, and so he wants to kind of shake things up and make sure that the humans are still worshiping him. And it's a lot about, you know, Zeus becoming too big for his own britches, which is strange when you're king of the gods, of course. But let's see, it's Zeus. We've got of your favorite Greek gods. We've really only got Zeus, Hera, who they call Hera for some reason. Hades, of course, Poseidon, and Dionysus, which I thought was an odd one to throw in there. But I do love Dionysus, you know, the god of theater and wine.
Yes.
And good times. you know, Artemis, Apollo, you know,
he
Hephaestus.
Lives in Bellingham.
He does. Dionysus is from Bellingham originally. And if Dionysus was from Bellingham, he would not be the god of wine. He would be the god of small craft brews. anyway, I really enjoyed it. It's all very modern and updated. Eurydice is in it. Orpheus. When you look back on the whole thing, when the series is over, I think it's got a lot to say about politics using religion to help control people.
Right.
And actually had probably a lot more to say about politics than it did about religion. And I thought it was really intriguing from that perspective. But I really enjoyed it, but it does seem like it's the kind of show that's really not going to get enough traction to get a season 2, unfortunately, because it ended
well,
up with
I've
a cliffhanger.
I've never heard of it, so that...
Yeah.
Well, and I peruse the media, so...
If you're into Greek mythology like I am, you might enjoy Chaos. But I don't, you know, I'm trying to decide whether other people would dig it. It's modern enough that it's not like people walking around in togas or anything like that. So it's modern enough that I think people would still kind of dig it. And then, you know, there's some young, beautiful people in it whose names I don't know. Most of the actors were people completely new to me. But I thought all the performances were good. I am going to give Chaos a big thumbs up. But yeah, like I say, very niche. I don't know how much wide appeal it has.
Well, it might be worth it to check out the first episode.
Sure. And see if you like it.
Go for the 15 minute argument and see what
happens. There you go. Yeah. Jeff Goldblum, I thought, was wonderful. But, you know, I always love him. All right, what do you got next for us, Bette?
Well, I have something called Bette's Tango with Insomnia.
Right.
And, folks, I hope Stiens will be okay with me going here.
Well, of course I will. I always am. It's your podcast, well, too, you know.
We've had this conversation between us, but not y'all. No. But when I go to bed, sometimes I sleep, sometimes I don't.
Right.
Sometimes I fall asleep quickly, and sometimes I wake up and I'm up for 5 hours. You know.
Yeah.
But I always seem to hit true insomnia from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah, about 5, yeah.
Which gives me time to turn my TV on to the oldies TV station, yeah. MeTV.
Yes.
And there are 3-hour-long shows that show in succession. They right. were all at the time on CBS uh-huh. back in the 70s.
Okay.
And they are Mannix.
Yes.
Cannon.
Okay.
And Barnaby Jones.
Barnaby Jones, okay.
And now, when I say Stiens will know this, because we had a conversation about the theme songs to those shows.
That's right, we did.
Mannix's theme show, the theme song, was fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
Barnaby's wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can never remember Cannon's. He was he was second in the three.
Yeah.
Can never remember his
Not theme a good theme song. That's the sign of a bad theme song if you don't walk away from the show humming it.
So of these three, and I promise you from here on out, you're gonna hear the word dick more than you ever want to. But for these three TV dicks, because you know that's what they call them.
That's true, they're private dicks.
Right. We have to look at the three shows themselves and the stars.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Mannix is absolutely the best. He was played by Mike Connors.
Mike Connors, yeah.
Young, swarthy, dark, handsome.
Handsome.
Active.
Yes.
Got shot in the arm several times and never
always.
Had a problem with it.
Everybody's always getting shot in the arm.
I know, they always get shot
it's always
in the arm.
But they could still fire back.
But he was great. And then Cannon was William Conrad.
Right. Not very sexy.
Not very sexy. But the kind of guy you'd like to have for your next door neighbor, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Often in a leisure suit. Hefty.
Yeah.
Balding pate.
Right.
Mustache. You know.
Yeah. Pre Ironsides, though, right? Wasn't he also in Ironsides? Was that him?
No, I don't think he was in Ironsides.
I thought that was him. Oh, who's the guy in Ironsides? Never
Raymond
mind. You
Burr.
Keep going.
Raymond
oh,
Burr.
That's Raymond Burr. Oh, my bad. I'm okay. Sorry. You keep going.
But then Barnaby Jones. Now Barnaby Jones was Buddy Ebsen, who was Jed Clampett.
That's right.
So he was an old man when the show started.
That's true. He was.
So
he was already old.
I mean, he had a little bit of personality, but that's about all he had going for him.
Big eyebrows. Great
big
eyebrows.
Big old fuzzy eyebrows.
Yeah, yeah. Captain eyebrows.
But, and so, I was thinking about this. This is how desperate I was for a topic to make people. Okay, so, we have to say, every TV dick has his automobile.
Right.
And so I thought this is where I would go for this desperate piece of show.
Okay.
Mannix.
It was brown. I remember it was brown.
What did... No, it was green. It was dark green. You could have mistaken it for brown.
Okay.
What did the swarthy Mannix drive? From the first, a 1967 Oldsmobile Toronado.
Ooh.
Then he switched to a 1968 Dodge Dart convertible.
A Dodge Dart.
Convertible.
Yeah.
Then ended his run in the
last
season.
My grandma had a Dodge Dart.
My brother-in-law, Brian, all through high school, drove a Dodge Dart. It wasn't a convertible, and it wasn't cool in any way.
Grandma's wasn't either. You just said Dodge Dart.
Dodge Dart. It was a Dodge Dart. he ended in the last season.
Oh,
with
yeah.
A Chevrolet Camaro. I mean, we're.
Oh,
talking.
There you go.
Yeah.
Muscle car. He's getting younger. He's getting younger. His car's so getting younger.
He was a cool dick with cool cars.
Right.
So Cannon.
Yeah.
Cannon's a big man.
Yes.
And he always drove the same car. And I love it because it is a two-door Lincoln Continental.
Lincoln Continental. There you go.
With, you know, they had the little oval window cut out through the vinyl top at the back. Our family had several of these while we were growing up. So, but the thing of it was, Cannon would, you know, he was in California, and he would go up in the desert, and there were no roads, and that Lincoln Continental would just be bouncing all over the place. That car saw a lot of action in its time.
Nice.
Okay, so.
Now, Barnaby, though. What did Barnaby drive?
One more dick, one more car.
Yes.
And my guess, I watched, and I couldn't figure out what it was. It was ugly. My guess it was a Mercury.
I was going to say, it's the 70s, so they were all pretty ugly.
Yeah, and so when I went to research it, I was close. Because, you know, Mercury is part and parcel of Ford.
Yeah.
But Barnaby drove a Ford LTD.
Oh, an LTD. Okay.
And our family had at least one of those as well. And while it was roomy, it could hold your family and the extended family.
Yeah.
It was nothing to speak of.
Right.
So, of course, Mannix was the cutest, the youngest, had the coolest car.
Had the
best
car.
Theme song.
Yep.
And I just love Cannon driving that two-door Continental. And he was also a very genteel private detective. So he comes in second.
Okay. And then Barnaby's last.
And Barnaby was just a boring driver.
Just an old man in an old man's car.
An old man in an old man's car. And the only reason that he makes it through his practice is because his past son, that's why he does this, his son was murdered. His past son's wife does all the hard, she does all the hard stuff.
Right.
He just sits at the desk or in the car.
Right.
And I promise you people, I will never talk about TV dicks. No matter what I found out.
I wouldn't be so sure. I wouldn't be so sure. Let's not hold her to that, gang.
Well, how about maybe 70s great actors who were guest stars?
Ooh.
That could work.
Burt Convy.
Bradford Dillman. He was one of my faves.
I never heard of him. We shouldn't do that topic because it's going to be full of people that I've never heard of.
Yeah, well, on one of them, and I think it might have been Cannon, I did see Loretta Swit.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a good get. All right, I got some pet stories.
Meow, 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 meow. I want to hear some pet stories. Meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow. Two pet stories this week. So last week, just before the Hucklebug, and Bette knows this, but I didn't say anything on the show, even though I was, in fact, quite worried about it. But I kept it cool. I played it cool. But last week, just before the show, I was sitting here at my desk getting ready, sort of prepping, and I heard this almighty crash behind me. And then I saw Lincoln sort of slinking out of the room. And I kind of laughed because it sounded like we had tried to jump up on the windowsill here and fell. And so I kind of chased after him to see if he was all right. And I went to pick him up to give him a little cuddle. Normally, he reacts pretty well to that. But this time, he did not. He gave a little yelp and kind of arched his back and was like, put me the fuck down. So I was like, all right, sorry. So I put him down. And then he went and hid. And gang, he hid for most of the rest of the weekend. And that worried me quite a bit. Cats hide when they don't feel good. And so he was under the bed for most of the weekend. He did come out to eat and to drink and to use the litter box. So,
yeah,
you know,
but that's scary.
It's still scary, but it wasn't scary enough that I was like, all right, I got to take you to the 24/7 emergency vet, the really expensive place. I thought, we'll just see how he goes through the weekend and then I'll get him in to see his own doctor on Monday. So Monday, he was not feeling any better. So I took him in to the vet. And to be honest with you, I was worried about a couple of things. I thought, he might have just hurt himself when he fell. But also, it's unusual for cats to fall. It's very unusual for cats to fall. They have very good balance. So I thought, you know, this could be, he might have some motor dysfunction. He might have some neurological thing that's causing his balance to be off. Might be an inner ear infection. I mean, it could be a million things, right? But, you know, me, I'm imagining the worst, of course. Because I not only Google my own symptoms, but I will also Google my cat's symptoms. So I Googled his symptoms and thought, oh, he's probably got ataxia.
Or he could just have fallen the wrong way.
And that is what it turned out to be, fortunately. I got him into the vet
Monday
morning around 10.
I know you're me when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, we're each other. You know. You would have done the same thing for Milo, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I brought him in. We got to see our favorite vet at North Shore, Dr. Knowles. Dr. Knowles also is the one who diagnosed Scout's kidney disease. We took Lincoln in, and so he said, well, first thing we'll do is we'll just check. He said it might just be that he got injured in the fall, but it also might be, you know, maybe something else is. He goes, what I want to find out is he hiding because he hurt himself when he fell? Or was the fall itself symptomatic of something else that's going on? So he starts doing the exam. He's a great doctor because he's telling me everything he's doing while he's doing it. You know, I'm checking his eyes. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. You know, blah, blah, blah. We'll check his ears. So he checks everything in his face and his ears and his teeth and all that. And then he listens to his lungs and his heart. And he's like, everything sounds good. You know, no sign of concussion when he was checking the eyes and things like that. And then he just starts sort of palpating down his spine. And he hit a spot just over his hip. And Lincoln went, and he goes, ah,
ooh,
there it is. There it is. He said, all right. He goes, we're going to take an x-ray.
Milo has
and before we do anything else. Yep.
Back. Yep.
Yep. He's like, before we do anything else, we're going to do an x-ray. And we're going to see if anything is, if there's a fracture, if there's a break. He goes, I don't think there's a break because he's walking fine. He's not jumping up. He was not jumping up on things, but he was a little unsteady. He was a little wobbly. That was the other thing. He was a little bit wobbly on his feet. So they took him back. They did a couple of x-rays. He brings the x-rays. We look at them together. There's no fracture. There's no break.
Woo.
The x-rays look good. He said, so this, all of this being the case, he goes, my guess is that we're looking at, he either tweaked something when he landed, or there's some soft tissue damage from the fall. He said, but we're just going to give him an anti-inflammatory and some painkillers to keep him still for the next couple of days, and he'll be fine. And sure enough, Lincoln is fine and dandy now. He's no longer complaining when I pick him up. He did anti-inflammatories for 3 days. I stopped giving him the painkiller yesterday, so now he's just chilling. He's hanging out in the other room. But both the cats have been sort of playing tentatively. So that's pet story number one. Pet story number one is, I thought, you know, I did think this could be the end of Lincoln. Because if he has some sort of neurological disorder that's not allowing him to walk properly or jump, then this could be the end. But it's not. He's fine. And then I took Scout on Wednesday to the vet. because it was time for her monthly painkiller shot. Now, I told you guys about her painkiller shot, right? Did I not? What's up?
I'm sorry. It's time for her monthly period.
Well, I don't know. She just had her quinceañera this year. So this would be around the time, but she gets a monthly injection now for her arthritis. And when she had her first one, it took about 3 weeks before I really started seeing any difference. And for the first 3 weeks, I was like, I don't think we're going to be getting this monthly shot because it doesn't seem to be doing that much good and it's pretty expensive. But in that last week, I suddenly started to notice, hey, she's not limping anymore.
Oh, had to build up.
Exactly. It had to build up. So she went, she had her second one. She was a perfect little angel, according to the vet tech who took her away and gave her the shot. Yeah, she's doing really, really well. So now she also is trying to initiate play. The funny thing was, she came home from the vet. She's trying to initiate play with Lincoln. Lincoln's on painkillers, and he's like, no, go away. I don't want to play now. But now they're both getting healthy, and they're both in a position where they can play. My two senior kitty cats chasing each other around.
Oh, they're having a great time. How great.
Yeah. So there's my pet stories. Both of them been to the vet. Both of them clean
right
bills
results.
Of health. Yep, exactly. All right, let's do fuck-offs and new rules.
Yeah.
Fudget. We all know what that means.
How dare you go to the Vatican with your trophy wife?
He's disgusting. Who rules, Bet? Let's not talk about that guy.
Well, I was hoping someone would stay tuned. I have a U rule. It's
oh, that's right.
A new rule. But my U rule is for Janet and Donna.
Yay!
And they talked about being in B-Field and driving back home. And I just have to ask the both of you, on Thursday afternoon, did either of you feel a little twinge of paranoia? Because... they came in for a very sad reason. Donna's aunt passed. And Donna wrote such a lovely tribute to her on her. If you've never been there, go to her webpage, Suitcase Tales. She writes so beautifully. But she was writing about her aunt, who was a majorette.
Yes.
At Graham High School. When she wrote it, she said some things about the obit and that the funeral was going to be either at noon or 12:30 at a certain cemetery in town. Well, I had the afternoon off.
Yeah.
And so when I left work at 12:30, I immediately headed out there just to see if maybe at that point they might be breaking up and I could see Donna and Janet. And even her dad, Don, and just say, hi, I'm so sorry, whatever.
Yeah.
So I drove out there and the cemetery was completely empty. Oh. And I'm not familiar with this particular cemetery, but I drove up and down several hills and valleys and streets.
Yes.
Big building where, you know, if you have it inside where it could be. And there were no cars. There was nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently I've missed this. Yeah. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just drive now by their house, by Don's house.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, kept on going, went through the old neighborhood I love so much.
Yeah.
Went by the Copley's house. Not a soul there.
Oh.
And I just kept thinking, what have I missed? What have I missed here? And so I went out and I had some lunch and I thought, well, maybe they're meeting somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'll have lunch, you know. And then when I come back, maybe somebody will be somewhere. And so after lunch, I went back and went by the, I stalked you all, Donna. and I understand that you came in for the reason that you came into. And that you probably, well, even if you would have stopped out on Thursday before you went back home, I wouldn't have been there. Yeah. But please, Donna and Janet, know how much I love you and how sorry I am for your loss. And that wonderful majorette jacket that your aunt had.
Oh, yes.
Which plays in the wonderful story she wrote about her aunt. Right. You all rule. I just wish I could have held your hand for a minute.
Tough, though, when you're just in town for a thing like that. It's difficult to see folks, isn't it?
They had, reading the obituary, they had a lot of family that they had to visit with.
I'm sure.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, you rule, Donna and Janet. Bless you both. I have two you rules this week. I was telling Bette earlier, the first you rule is for two people, so technically it's three. My first you rule is for my friends Marla and Ken. Marla, friend of the show, listener Marla.
Marla. And Ken, and her husband, of the Ken, oboe.
Ken, who is an oboe player and a very, very tall man as well. I don't know if you know this, but he's super tall. Marla and Ken and I did Severance trivia on, it was Wednesday.
Oh,
Wednesday
man.
Night. And we won.
Whoa!
That's right. We kicked butt. We were tied for first place with another team. 72 points, by the way.
That does not surprise me in the least.
And then we had a tiebreaker, which we did manage. So yeah, it was a lot of fun and a good night out. And so I wanted to thank Marla and Ken.
Oh, I love trivia so much.
For how much fun it was. Yes. And then my second U rule is for Dr. Knowles, the vet who I mentioned earlier.
Yay.
We've had several vets since we started going to North Shore Vet. North Shore, unlike past places that I've taken the cats when I lived in California, for example, North Shore Vet is, you know, a big place with lots of doctors. And in the past, I'm used to taking the cats where there's one vet, maybe two vets. And, you know, we've had several vets there who are good, but they've, you know Dr. Tracy. Dr. Tracy being, you know, of course, our favorite vet. But I think we have a new favorite vet, and it's Dr. Knowles. He's a good dude. He's also, as I mentioned earlier, I like that he is telling me everything he's doing as he's doing it so that, you know, I know what's going on. But also, the main reason he gets a U rule is because I was, when I was talking to him about Lincoln on Monday, I said, you know, I've been worried, but I just didn't want to take him to the emergency vet. And he said, you know what? Unless there's a bone sticking through or they're actually dragging their leg around, you don't need to take him to the emergency vet. He goes, you made the right choice. Yeah. So I loved hearing that. I loved hearing that.
I'm going to tell Taylor and Allison that.
Well, I mean, you know, or if they're having problems breathing or something
like
that.
He sends up in the ER all. That is a disaster.
I mean, of course, you know, if your dog's eating, you know, chocolate or something that's poisonous to dogs, obviously.
Pot, people.
You know, that's probably not very good. You know, or if they're having trouble breathing or whatever. In this particular instance, we were talking about, you know, a limp or something like that. He said, you made the right choice. And that, you know, that really set my mind at ease as a cat owner, because the whole weekend I was like, boy, I hope I don't find out that, that he has something really serious, and if only we caught it a day earlier, he'd be fine, you know?
I would have been the hero in this story. Yes.
Exactly. But it turned out all right, and it was I very much appreciated him putting me at ease that way. So he rules.
One of the last vets that Milo had, I'm sorry to say this, but...
No.
You know, he was just a big old guy. We, you know, he came out, and he was so casual. Yeah. And he loved Milo. He was one of those, he's in some pain. I think he's still okay, but he's in some pain. We'll deal with it. And I can only be thankful that he was the one who was with us at the end.
Yeah, that's good.
Because he did truly love Milo.
It's so important. That's
so when
important.
You have a vet who you know cares about your pet.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Tracy, you know, Dr. Tracy cried. Dr. Tracy cried when she had to put Boo down. Mm. Now that's something. I don't know. I've never had a vet that cried when they put my pet to sleep. And she also came out to the house to put Rimsey down, which was magnificent. So, you know, there'll never be another Dr. Tracy. Rest in peace, by the way, Dr. Tracy. There'll never be another Dr. Tracy, but, you know, Dr. Knowles is pretty damn good. And so we're very happy with
it. Sounds good.
Yeah. And it's like a mechanic, you know, when you get one you trust, keep going to them. That's the way I see it. And both cats have appointments to go back to the vet next month. Lincoln's got to get his senior wellness exam and his, I think he's due a round of shots. And Scout's got to get her monthly pain injection, which is that they're not injecting her with pain. They're injecting her with a painkiller.
Are they doing like Alzheimer's? Are they doing the camera, shot thing with Lincoln? He has to prove he doesn't have dementia.
No, they're going to make him draw a clock. They're going to make him draw a clock with the hands at three. No, he'll be all right. And then Scout needs, she needs her monthly shot for pain, but she also needs her rabies shot. So that she's going to get both of those at the same time. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. What is it for cats? For dogs, it's 10.
What? 10 what?
Years.
10 years. Oh, is it really 10 years for rabies?
10 years.
It's three for cats.
Wow.
Yeah. Every 3 years. I know.
I still have Milo's little metal heart.
Was it 3 years? Maybe it's 3 years for the other ones and it's 5 for rabies. Okay. I can't remember, but I think it's 3.
Yeah. I still have Milo's little metal hearts where he got
We don't do that for cats. Corey, I guess I would if she was an outdoor cat, but they're not outdoor cats. They're indoor cats. They don't have any tags or anything on them. All right. Well, gang, that's our show. It's run a bit late this week, but that's okay. Yep. We're off next week. We really actually
we
are this time. Truthfully, really actually off the next week. But we will be back the weekend of May 10th and 11th.
And maybe y'all have something better to talk about than
Mannix's car.
TV dicks.
There's still plenty of dicks out there to talk about. I mean, like, we can talk about Magnum P.I. Magnum P.I. had the coolest car of all. He had the Ferrari.
Oh, he had the Ferrari. And he also had Higgins. I mean,
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right, gang. So that's our show. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. We love you
so much. Mwah.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
All right. Same to you.